Okay, so go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Kind of hold there. We're going to go back old school, kind of almost like a Sunday school message. Yes, we're going to talk about David and Goliath, and we're going to put on the full armor of God. You guys with me? Yeah, kind of excited. It's like, wow, it's like, the Lord's like, okay. I'm like, Lord, is this cheesy or what? But you know what? We need this. We need to remind about these stories that we know so well, so to speak, but we lose the deep impact it wants to cause. It's showing God working in people who submit their lives over. And the resources, because we see it wasn't about David. It was about David's faith in the God of Israel and about the resources God has given us. And God's given us the best resource. That is his son, Jesus Christ, because he is the word of God. So with that, I want to just give a quick just little testimony of what's been going on. A lot of you guys know that I've been sick. You know, what's funny is like, I was come back from a youth workers conference and I was helping taking down the backdrop and Pastor Greg, and he goes, Steve wasn't here. He must be sick. Kind of a bummer that that's what I'm known for now. So again, the enemy tries to mess with my head. And again, I just got back from a youth workers conference that it was just total Lord's design. I go every year. This is my 10th year, but the Lord dealt with me. My sickness has been worse for this last past year, 2011. Wasn't very fun. One of the reasons why, because I would not allow it to be. This last 6 months has been the most darkest part of my spiritual life. I mean, God, by his grace, praise God, in the midst, and even when we're dropping the ball, God's grace. Amen? It's by God's grace that David was able to defeat Goliath. But God's grace, even though I'm going through, the kids are growing, my leaders are growing, the church is growing, even though me personally, I was failing miserably. I was going through the motions. You hear the horror stories of different pastors. I finally kind of experienced that at my level. And I was ready to give up. I was ready to talk to Pastor Mark, say, you know what? Should I step down? Should I go part-time? I can't do this anymore. I need a break, you know? And the Lord, and just going through this and just feeling dry, but knowing the word of God and just doing it out of habit and stuff. And it's like, Lord, it's just, and I get to this place, okay, I'm just lying to myself. I'm not doing that. You know what I'm saying? Just Satan's messing with my head. And then I'm saying I'm denying that that's what I'm actually doing. Anybody follow me on this? It's like, wow, you're just crazy. But, amen. I got Jerry back there going, okay, bro. But then it's like, I've just been praying and praying. Everybody's been praying. I just want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart that there's so much love in this church. And if you guys are not experiencing, guess what? That's your bad. Because it's here. It's here. God is manifest. We're not perfect. You know, we're clay pots cracked up, but it's here. And I've really seen all these things from the financial needs of the church, that the saints are really going before the Lord and praying and showing God's love, even when we don't understand and even when we don't agree at times. But guys, we need to be united under that banner to fight these fights. We're in this together. We're going to look at the children of Israel getting ready to go to battle, but no one would step up. They're all ready to go and nobody would fight Goliath. And you get this little ruddy little kid come in, little shepherd, say, I'll take care of biz. It's funny, we're going to read the scriptures, and while I was reading this, it's like, it's so funny, he's ready, and they always have to put, he's good looking. I'm like, why do you have to put that in there? It's like, wow, complex, you know? But guys, when you go to the word of God, it should be exciting, it should be fun, and it's life-giving. But anyways, long story short, the Lord gave me a fresh revelation. He brought me back out of the wilderness, and I thank you guys for all your prayers. You know, it was awesome. It's like, I don't want to lose it. I'm like, I don't want that mountaintop experience. And then it's like, okay, all hyped up. And then you go back to the garbage again. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, I still have this. But the Lord has just showed me some stuff personally that he basically smoked me this still small voice that relief is right around the corner and there's a release. So I'm just going to bank on that. You know, what was really awesome is Brandon, Pastor Brandon, the young adults. You know, the people close to me kind of see it weigh on me and they don't exactly know what to do or how to handle it. So they just pray. But there's significant notice in certain things. And Brandon, everyone's walking out, he just kind of gave me a hug. He's all, you're back, bro. So that encouraged me. Because it's not me saying it, someone else saying it. So guys, I want to encourage you, no matter what's going through, never give up. God will bring you out of the valleys. He will deliver you from the giants. Because why? Because victory has already been won. Because he says, you know what? It is finished. And that's what we're going to look at today. Praise God. And what's so interesting, going through all this, okay, I'm ready to fire it, I'm ready to teach the kids. Pastor Mark calls me, want to teach me in service? I'm like, oh, man. Okay, Lord. And then scratching the message, give me this message. How we have victories in God. It's like, really? So God is like that to make, because he's a real God and he's a personal God. He wants you guys to have an authentic personal relationship that's real, no matter if it's good, bad, or ugly. It doesn't matter because he faced it. We have a high priest that says that he sympathized. He's gone through it. So guess what? If we abide in him and on his strength, then guess what? We're good to go. We know it, but we don't always receive it and practice it. So you know what, guys, want to encourage you and hope this message encourage you. I'm going to kind of just recap the verses up to verse 32. So in the chapter, real quick, just to go back a little bit, we see this portion that Saul is the first king of Israel, okay? Israel was there getting complacent, tripping like they always do, and saying, oh, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king, because everyone else has one. And they have the prophet Samuel, God was governing them, but it wasn't good enough. Sounds like us sometimes, huh? We want to be just like everyone else. We take our eyes off the Lord. Well, we must need this. So the Lord's like, okay, Samuel, tell them what they're going to get. So gave the list of how Saul was going to be. Not a very good king. It's about himself. But in that process, Saul is just getting worse. In chapter 16, the Lord knew what was up, said to Samuel, you know what? Go to the house of Jesse, anoint me a new king. He's not going to take over yet, but I'm going to prepare him. And that's where we get little David coming in, a little shepherd boy. Now we see in chapter 17, we see some great stuff. In the first 11 verses, we see Goliath challenges the Israelite army. And again, they're all up there ready to rock and roll and nobody's moving. Nobody is taking the initiative to go to battle. And I see that, we see that in the church a lot. We come, we prepare ourselves. We may even put on the full armor of God, but we're not fighting for whatever reasons. If it's a circumstance situation, timid, scared, who knows? But God understands that we need to get past that. The Lord allows us to go through these times. He has allowed me to go through this year, these last 3 years, year and hardcore 6 months, to show me who I am and how insufficient I am and how sufficient he is. And what's funny, the whole theme of the Youth Workers Conference of his sufficiency. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about that we're so insufficient, but he is sufficient on everything we need. Guys, we need to remember that. And not just remember that, let it become alive in your life because we are going to get nailed even more. You go up 350 youth workers, youth pastors, and everybody's getting pummeled. From senior pastors that used to be youth pastors telling their stories about not feeling it, sneaking into church because not want to deal with it, getting locked themselves in the office. You know, other youth pastors go and say, you know what? I've lost that joy. I come home, I'm mad, and I don't like my kids. Talking about youth group kids. You know, so we're all getting beaten. I come back and someone asks, well, why is this happening? Because the Lord's coming back. Wheat from the chaff, he's filtering us. He's testing. He's refining us. You know, he's pruning us. And guess what? Even though it's hard and difficult at times, it's much needed. So guys, we're in this together. We're family. We're in battle. We're an army. We need to go out because the world's looking at us. And we need to shine bright, even in the hardest times. Because people need a Savior. The Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone have everlasting life. And he wants to use us, our lives, to shine bright. You know, we always get into this, you know, like a bunch of youth pastors, what's the things that we can glean from one another? You know, discipleship and stuff. We found out at the end of the day, the best way to disciple someone is to live it in front of them. Live it in front of them. You know, have Bible studies, but really live it in front of them, no matter what, even in the dark times. So anyways, again, first 11 verses, we see Goliath challenging the Israelites. Verses 12 through 30, we see Jesse sends to David, to Saul's camp. And now we're going to see, pick up the story as David comes, and we see this man full of faith, letting the Lord fight this battle with pure confidence through the Lord of Israel. So let's look at verse 2. It says, then David said to Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Talking about Goliath. Your servant will go fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. It's so interesting right here, guys. We cannot underestimate a person's ability just because he or she is young. A lot of people that God used in the Bible start off at a young age. You know, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but David, what, between 17 and 20? He's pretty young, right? You know, we see Mary at a young age, God used and conceived a baby through the Holy Spirit. We see some of the prophets start off at very young. Kings start off very young. But we stereotype people just because they're young and they're dumb. That is the case sometimes. But even sometimes when we're old, we have our moments. But we can't judge. What we need to do is to exhort, encourage, and admonish. You know, turn with me, or no, just chill, just stay put. I will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, and again, you guys know I work with youth, and a big part of the youth is they feel inadequate because they're young. That's just the mentality they have, but it doesn't make it any easier when they don't have the support from us. Even through their mistakes, when they're 15, they're supposed to do dumb 15-year-old things. We did. As you grow biologically, you start growing spiritually. So we need to show grace and make sure our walk is aligned up to where it should be so we can help them continue. And that's what Paul did with Timothy. He gave Timothy that example why he asked him to do these things. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, talking about taking heed to ministry, Paul speaking to Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give an attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy and laying on the hands of elders. Again, in context, this is Paul speaking about Timothy, but we can still, all of us, young or old, it doesn't matter. Right here, an example, second part of verse 2, to believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Just because he's speaking to Timothy, he was young, doesn't let us off the hook, older people. We need to teach the younger ones by examples, not by lip service, but how we are handling our relationship with God in the midst of the dark times. And I'll be the first one to say, I failed. And I'm a youth pastor, and everyone's looking at me. But you know what? It's God's grace. And he's protecting everything through that time. And that's one thing, guys, don't forget. Don't use it as a license to be a knucklehead, but understand it, we are saved by grace through faith. Back in 1 Samuel, and we're going to pick it up in verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after and struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. He wasn't going to put up with it. He is going to go after this enemy, not in the flesh, in the spirit, letting the Lord lead and guide him through this battle, because we see the outcome, the Lord, the one who won. Okay, David was just a vessel. It says, verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me, see, he knew, and gave credit to who was due credit, from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. I love Saul. So Saul clothed David, and this is a funny part too. Well, hey, let's stop. I'm getting ahead of myself. In verse 37, right here, by faith, and we see David's faith, by faith, we must trust the Lord to save us from both physical and spiritual enemies. David had this faith wholeheartedly in the God of Israel. Guys, I don't know about you, but going through this, I've been taking pieces of my heart back and exposing them to the enemy, and that's how I've been getting ripped off. That's part of it. Guys, we need, again, we're going to get into the armor of God. So, you know, we'll tuck that all away and get ready to rock and roll before we bail. But I'm just like, wow, he talked a lot of slang. But I do. But guys, the word of God is for us to understand the heart of God and how he deals with people like us. But how much power that we can obtain by abiding in him. And that's through faith. And guys, don't forget the resources that he gives us. And we'll see that. Yes, and I'll talk about, I have the verse somewhere in there, that it's not, you know, a carnal battle, so we don't use carnal weapons. It's a spiritual battle, but God does give us resources from the things of this world to help us move along. You know, Saturday night, I was picking on Steve Rotundi, because I love that guy. He's like, he has the perfect regal gray hair. has a perfect goatee. I try to do mine, I just mess it up. And then he just shreds on guitar. I'm like, dude, get out of here. But he is God's gift, and he is mastered and crafted unto the Lord. And God uses the bands up here to lead us into the throne room of God, to prepare our hearts for worship. So we have to, by faith, understand the Lord gives us these gifts, abilities, but we have to be good stewards of the resources God has given us and use them for the kingdom of God. Amen? Thank you. You guys are still awake. It's not just me. Okay. This is kind of funny. So Saul, verse 38, clothed David with his armor, put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him in a coat of mail. David fastened his swords to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff, David did, in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in the pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. What's interesting right here, don't be something you're not. Use what God has given you, your spiritual gifts. You might not have everyone else. Saul's like, okay, here, you're supposed to have this armor, so use. David's like, dude, I'm not feeling it. It's not working for me. So he's like, you know what, I'm going to take my staff. I'm going to take my sling and my pouch because that's what I'm used to using. Remember, he was very skilled because that's what a shepherd used. And I'll give it a little detail a little bit in these other things, but what's cool, this is just some fun facts that, you know, I kind of found and some speculation and conjecture, so don't trip on me. But you know what? I'm kind of person that's like, hey, you know, why? As a theme of the retreat, why? But why did David take 5 smooth stones? He didn't expect to miss. He knew the Lord was going to guide that and knock him out. You know what? And it's funny because, you know, I was reading Corson and Chuck and everybody. And it's probably because, you know, we know that Goliath had 4 brothers. And you never know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? You know what's funny, too? And Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was reading the scriptures, because in 2 Samuel 21, 22, it talks about it. But it's like, was it his sons or his brothers? It's his brothers, correct? Thank you. Guys, when you study the Word of God, first time when the Holy Spirit's, because then you start reading it and you're like, whoa, because they believe there was 2 Goliaths too, named the same. So I started tripping on that yesterday. I'm like, I was stuck on one verse for like a half hour. I'm like, oh Lord, just deliver me from this. Because it's not that big of a deal. But it's fun because it makes the Word of God interesting. Because you look in, you know, 2 Samuel, you look in Chronicles, and you see later on, David and his boys went out and took care of the other brothers. Kind of cool, took them out of the picture. So that, I thought that was pretty cool. But again, he did not expect to miss, but you know what? He was expecting the unexpected. You never know what the Lord, you know, never learn that, you know what? Okay, one trial, one giant, here comes another one. Be prepared. Don't get lazy. Don't get lax. You know, be on guard. Be ready to be on the attack in the spirit. What's interesting too, how David did not expect to miss. In Judges chapter 20, verse 16, it talks about how skilled the Benjamites are with the sling, where basically the sling was used with great accuracy, where the Benjamites were so accurate that they were able to split a hair with. Isn't that amazing? I want to see that. It's like, phew, you know? But again, David wasn't a Benjamite, right? He was lion of the tribe of Judah, you know? Jesus, but he was from the tribe of Judah. But guys, when we hang out, we kind of pick up some stuff. But again, he used this stuff as a shepherd. So I just thought this was an interesting little fun fact. But check this out. We need to prepare for conflict with the giants in the best way we can with the resources God has given us. And the best resource beyond the spiritual gifts and just the capabilities he's given us is the Word of God that we neglect the most. I think sometimes we don't realize that we're relying on these other things than the Word of God. Because the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We all know the verse. But we don't allow it to be that sharp and alive in our lives for whatever reasons. Even as we go through, it's like, I didn't be stupid on purpose. You know, the 6 months, I didn't want this. But I bought into the lies. I wasn't on my game. You know, I start focusing on the sickness. It consumed me. And then I look at Chuck, Pastor Chuck. Stage 3 cancer. And he's up there, didn't have to be up there with us to encourage us. And it was on Tuesday when he was finding out what he was going to do next. But all he cared about is going to encourage his youth pastors. I'm like, wow, I'm like, man, I'm a big baby. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you guys, a lot of you guys are going through your own stuff. A lot of people I know, this church is dealing with cancer. All these different things. Guys, we need to pray and support one another. We need to show that love. We can't get so consumed by what I'm going through to neglect the saints. If everyone's freaking out what this means, freaking out, that's what I said. Like, well, what did you say up there? Some guy came up to me yesterday, because I wear shirts and this covers it, so it says iron sharpens iron. And that's what we need to do. You know? But anyways, and we see through David, we're going to go into the story, but we see what he does and how he took out Goliath, how it encouraged the rest of the troops. Because after that, like, whoo, let's go, let's get him. So let's check it out. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. The man who bore the shield before went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy. And again, why they put this? Good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? He was offended by David. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And I'm a Philistine. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. Veggie Tales. Come to me. You guys remember that? Anyways, I still watch them. Come to me. Sorry. Oh, okay. Let's get back on this. You come to me with sticks, and the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistines, you come with me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin. Right here, I love this. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. The fight's on him, guys. You know, and I struggle with this. We take things so personal. But you know what? I'm his child, so I'm under him. So if they're going after me, they're going after him, and he's going to protect me. Amen? So it makes it much easier. I don't have to take it personal. Because they're going after my God. And then they go crazy, you know, like, you know, diss us and then blaspheme and stuff like that. But guys, when we're in him, it gives us so much more freedom that we don't have to take so much on ourselves. Because I think that's where the enemy gets in. You know, the self-doubt. You know, just always worrying about what everyone's saying about us. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's where the enemy wants to get in there and just break us down. And for us to get timid to walk away from the battle. And I see that happen a lot sometimes. But we need to overcome in him because he says he has overcome the world. Okay, so let's continue. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. See where he's pushing the glory? See where he's pushing the recognition? Where he's not on David. He's just a vessel that's going to take care of some biz, and it's going to be like a great, amazing miracle story. But it's all about the Lord. Then verse 47, then all the assembly, check this out, all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran. I like this. He didn't procrastinate. He's like, oh, I'll get to it in a second. No, he booked it. He said, let's take this battle head on. Because he had the confidence, he had the power of the Holy Spirit in him to have that boldness. And I love this, that he ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took out the stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that it sunk. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. It's not always what the world thinks the way we should fight. And they don't understand the spiritual weapons we have. But you guys need to understand them. And we'll break it down in a few minutes. Again, this is like going back. Christianity 101, man. It's a Sunday school stuff that we need to be reminded of. But, okay, therefore, verse 51, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. This guy's crazy. And cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. See, he took one person to spark something. And now it's like, okay, let's do this. Sometimes it does that. When someone's on fire in the Lord, it gets around. It should be contagious. It should spark something to get us fired up, to get us over ourselves, our shortcomings, even the crazy trials and temptations. Like, you know what? We can do this. in him. And let's rock and roll and do this. And I love how it just sparked in these guys. They shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell among... Oh, I'm not even going to try that one. Even as far as Gath and Ekron. I practiced that one in my office. I still can't do it. Anyways, you guys got a Bible, you can read that name. Verse 53, then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they plundered their tents. David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem. He put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, who is this youth? And Abner says, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. And then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, slaughter, by the way, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I'm the son of the servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. A normal person with faith to move mountains because of his relationship with God. It's by the faith David had in the God of Israel and the resources God has given him. Guys, we're also in him capable of removing these giants out of our lives. Whatever you guys are facing, guys, it's a battle. You know why it's getting so bad? Because he's coming home soon. Again, he's filtering. He's calling us out. And he's using these trials and these things in our lives to show us. It might not always be a person or losing a job. Or it could be anything. Whatever you guys are going through, take it as the Lord. If you're his child, that the Lord is speaking to you to say, trust me. But we say what? Like I think it was a centurion soldier with his son. I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. You know, it's like I got to a point where I became like a psychotic Martha. You know, remember when they went over and they were preparing a meal, they're going to have a little party for Jesus. And Mary's just chilling in front of Jesus. And Martha, you know, yeah, she's doing a Martha thing. Because why are you troubled for so many things? Man, I got into that. I still serve the Lord, but there was no joy. There was no peace. Why? Because I removed myself from the altar. I removed myself from the feet of Jesus. And I started going on autopilot because it's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. And there's a danger in that, guys. And God will only allow, he'll always try to get your attention. And me, I'm just so crazy because I go back and forth, and some of you guys relate. Like, one minute I'm there, I'm not. I lie to myself. I get lied to, blah, blah, blah. But then the Lord, just with that little, still small voice, just told me, he's like, you know what? I heard your prayer. Now it's time. Now, be willing to really receive it. So I've been speaking to you. I've been throwing you some bones here and there. But I need you to get to this point, Steve. And he's telling you, church, I'm getting you to this point. For full dependence on me, not just saying it with lip service, but really doing it, right? I mean, I'm not the only crazy one up here, right? Guys, it's time. It's time to get fired up. It's time to stop making it about ourselves and getting out there and sharing the gospel by a reflection of Christ in our lives. And the best time is when we're going through it on how we are handling it, because we're not handling it, we're letting the Lord handle it. And that's what David did. He was a testimony unto his dad, his brothers, Saul and the whole army of the children of Israel, and he sparks something. And later on, again, he gets a bad rap. Saul gets more tweaked, and then David goes through exile. That whole time, you know, he's just clinging to the Lord. I've been in Psalms. I tell you guys this all the time when I'm out here. Been in Psalms for over a year. I just keep going through it because I can relate with David. But what's funny, as much as I read it, I still wasn't receiving everything from it. Because at the end of the day, the answer is God and Jesus Christ. That is our victory. And guys, as you read the scriptures, don't let it just become something that you do and then there's no depth to it. Don't let it become shallow, because there's a danger of that happening. Because we see later on what happened with David. He shouldn't have stayed home, straight up. Supposed to be out in battle with the boys, stayed home, start, you know, getting a little, smelling himself, thinking he's all that. He's like, oh, I want her. And then just the heinous sin, murder, cover up, and all these crazy things you guys see on movies we shouldn't be watching. You know what I'm saying? Laugh. It was funny. Jeez. But it's interesting because, yeah, he repented. As soon as Nathan called him out, he repented, didn't he? But look at the aftermath. Because we will. Don't be fooled. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. So God will take by his grace once again. But I love this story. But now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, familiar verses. And I just hope, you know, this repetition, you receive it. Again, we're going to start with verse 10. But while you guys are getting there, as I should get there myself. We must prepare for battle in our lives if we expect to win, straight up. We must put on the full armor of God, not just saying we are. It's a good idea. It's what I'm supposed to do. But stop your busyness. Sit before the Lord before you get up, before you do your thing, whatever it takes, because God will give you time. I hear this. I'm too busy or my schedule. Wow. Well, he didn't say that when he got on the cross, did he? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, you know what? Yeah, you're stressing out, you know, but let your will be done. And guys, we'll get to that point. That will be that spiritual battle, that struggle, that we want to be lazy. We're not going to want to do it. You know, and God wants you to be honest. Because he didn't want you to lie. Because I tell you now, we give God so much lip service that we think we're like, you know, snowing him and we're not. Like, yeah, really? I see right through you. I know what you're going to do, what you're going to say, what you're going to think before you do it. So guys, we need to take this serious. You have to have a strong devotional life. I don't care if it's 10 times a day. Some of us, we need that. You know, we eat, right? Why can't we eat spiritually? As much as we focus on our physical bodies, why are we neglecting the spiritual? That's what I'm trying to say. We need to do whatever it takes. So again, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and read, then I'll go back by and I'll just kind of break everything and list everything. Cool, I got plenty of time, so praise the Lord. But again, this is written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesus. You know, the first part, he's talking about children and parents. And I know the parents always love, you know, children obey your parents. This is right in the Lord. You know, we need to do that. And check this out. Us older people who have parents, doesn't stop just because of the teenagers. Come on, man, my dad and my mom are still alive. My grandma's 104 and she's still alive. She's in better shape than me. It's like, wow, really? I remember she used to, this is a side story. I mean, she is so like, she's just this little tiny thing, skinny. But man, you don't mess with her. She used to chase me and my brother with the broom. Bam, bam. You know? And what's funny, she had a stroke. So one side, she can't talk, but she's still, man. Don't mess with her. Straight up. But guys, the promises are not orchestrated the way that we think. It's orchestrated what the Bible says, and we need to take it all and apply it the way it tells us to. We always try to mix and match, and we got to stop. But anyways, again, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do you like that? And the power of his might. David had that same mentality. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now check this out. He's telling us to do something. Here's a promise. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, which be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I love verse 18. And everyone stops there. No, don't stop. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. It's like, man, I've heard that how many times? But how many times do I wake up in the morning and I don't get fully dressed? I tell you now, a lot of us, our mirror is our best friend. We got to make sure we look cool, we match. You know what I'm saying? Someone's really big about matching. Like, we look really cool when we leave the house. But how spiritually fed are we when we bail, when we take off? We care more about our outward than what's going on in our hearts and in our heads. And guess what? Satan knows that. So he's going to capitalize so much on that. You know, guys, be on your game. Again, Paul uses, I love, he uses the picture here. This is the metaphor is based on the armor and battle dress of a first century Roman soldier. He's using something they can relate to. The Bible, I don't care what you think, it is relatable. Okay, and they break it down. I mean, come on, how more simple can it, and how much more can God give us to make it simple for us? He came and died on the cross. Believe in me. You know what I'm saying? But then we make it so difficult. We get so caught up in the non-essential issues that we forget what the essential issues really are. It's about Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, and we have faith in him that we receive salvation. As we repent, of course. Forget that. But check this out, verse 14, and there's two in here, and I'll just kind of do one and I'll pause. Stand therefore, having girded the waist with truth, okay? It's like a belt. Now check this out. Christians must take a firm position in the spiritual battle against Satan. Guys, a firm position. We waver so easy sometimes. It's like you walk by and you push them and they fall on their face. Sometimes that's what happens spiritually because we are not standing firm. Right here it says girded with the waist, the truth. Girding up, and here's the explanation. Girding up was a matter of pulling in loose ends. Don't leave anything exposed as a preparation for battle. Guys, don't think you can just go and just, okay, real quick, you know something. No, be prepared. Understand your adversary that he goes around trying to just destroy us, to bring in all the loose ends, not to expose ourselves. Again, the belt that pulls all spiritual loose ends is truth, or better, truthfulness. The idea is of a sincere commitment to fight and to win. Let's check this out. Without hypocrisy, self-discipline, and devotion to victory. Oof. You know, guys, we're all like slammed, and you know, we're all like, oh, won't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. Well, come join us. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, we are at times, but we need to get past that. Because as we do, we put on the full armor of God. Guess what? He's going to start taking that out. That it's not going to be hypocrisy. It's going to be struggles, but it's going to be sincerity. And again, that's discipline. You know, God gives us the power, but we still have a part to play on this, right? We still need to deny ourselves. So it means self-discipline and devotion to victory. I think some of us need to step back when we go home and sit at the feet of Jesus. Because I know I did, and I know I need to continue. Because I just got off of this little spiritual high. Well, I didn't get off, I just experienced it. I don't want to lose it. You know, you go on these mountaintop experiences, oh, yeah, this is great. And a week later, it's like you're right back down there. No. Because guess, you're going to be tested. And Satan's going to come after you. But the Bible has given us. He gives us a great story about David. Now he's given us the resources. There's the faith. Here's the resources to put on the full armor to get ready. Because, guys, the battle doesn't stop. It may, you know, calm down a bit, but it's nonstop. We're in it until we go home. It's nothing but conflict. But count it all joy, the Bible says. Amen? Okay, let's do this. Okay, guys, check this out. Going back with, you know, the whole pulling everything. Guys, it's everything hinders must be tucked away. Everything. So whatever it is, you know, whatever's needs to be tucked away or get rid of. You know what I'm saying? If you have just a certain trait, that, you know, like, you know, maybe you're a really emotional person, you know what I'm saying? Or you have different emotions that trigger easy. And guess what? Get them tight, man. Give them to the Lord. Say, hey, I don't want this to expose because I know Satan's going to come after me on this. You know, if it's a sickness, whatever. Again, and then the second part is this, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Check out. Basically, this was a sleeveless piece of leather or heavy material covering the soldier's full torso, protecting his heart and other vital organs. That's very important. We need to do that. As believers, faithfully live in obedience. There it is. Live in obedience and communion with Jesus. His own righteousness produces in us the practical daily righteousness becomes our spiritual breastplate. You guys get that? It's very simple. But we overthink it or we just neglect it. And then, guys, you know, instead of beating ourselves up, let's, okay, let's come to grips of, be honest, okay, Lord, this is where I really lack. These are the areas that I really struggle with. I'm going to be honest with you, and I can't do this no more. I really can't. I have nothing else. I'm not just saying that because I'm being lazy. I really don't have anything else. And I promise you, he will meet you, and he will help you to deal with that giant in your life. But you got to have that faith. You got to fully, wholeheartedly, like David did, believing in him. and not wavering. And again, he gives us the extras, man. He gives us the armor of God that we need to put on. But we leave ourselves exposed a lot of times. So I'll just hopefully this is to encourage me, encourages you guys to continue to move forward. In verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Basically, soldiers wore boots with nails in them to grip the ground in combat. So they just dig in, man, and let's do this. Guys, we need to dig in. We need to build our foundation on that rock as Jesus Christ, the immovable source of this whole relationship, activated and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. But we get so pummeled and pushed around because we're not standing firm in our beliefs. You know, there's this all this new age crazy stuff that has the hints and, you know, persona of the gospel, but there's no depth and there's lies in there. And man, Satan's using it to pull away, and he's going after the youth. He's going some after you guys. Because like we just kind of seem like we get bored in the simplicity. We need some, you know, some new thing, new hype. You know, no, man. Just keep it basic. Because when like that, you get like, oh, well, there's something else. No, it's all right here. You got to be careful, guys. It's out there. And the enemy is using it, especially distracting the youth. It's crazy. I mean, I'm not trying to judge them, but one of the guys came to my office. I guess, you know, I pray for my boy, Joel Osteen. But he's talking to Oprah. And he says, yeah, you know, homosexuals are wrong, but gays are going to get into heaven. And he didn't say if they repented. And whatever he meant, that confused a lot of people. Because a lot of people, for some reason, think highly of him. You know, you got to be careful. Know your Bible. And if it contradicts scripture, chuck it out. And then, you know, but then you know what? It's so easy to judge. Oh, he's dumb. Blah, blah, he's all about the money. No, man, my heart hurts for him because he got deceived right there. So I need to pray for him because God loves him just as much as he loves you. But it's so easy. It's like, oh, man, well, he's not fighting the battle no more. He's blowing it. Yeah, he might be, but where's the compassion? Where's the tenderheartedness? Because all that's supposed to come, guys, as we become who God wants us to be. Okay, let's do this. I'm almost out of time. Okay, again, we need to grip firm. The gospel of peace pertains to the good news of Jesus Christ. Guys, he's on our side. Peace with God. It is the confidence of divine support which allows us to stand firm, knowing that since we are at peace with God, and God is our strength. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31. And I'm just going to pop around. I'm going to do verses, then I'm going to go down to the bottom. Chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what shall I say to these things? Speaking. If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is not holding back from you. He's not trying to burn you or cheat you. But he is allowing you to go through the circumstances to show that you need to depend on him, and he will give you what you need according to his time, according to his will. We just want it right away, man. That self-gratification is I want it over with. Sometimes he does it. Sometimes, guess what? I think one of the favorite words that God has is wait. You know what I'm saying? Wait. But hey, we got to be cool with that. We do. And we have to have joy in that, not just be cool because we have. That's where I came to that point. It's like I knew how to do it, so I just, okay, like this is my, I'm kind of silly. It's like, you know, Paul prayed three times, this thorn to be removed. You know, my grace is sufficient. It's like, okay, Steve, suck it up and move on. No, that was two negatives. I'm sucking up because I had to, but I wasn't experiencing the power behind that statement. You know what I'm saying? I was taking, okay, well, I just stop being a baby, just suck it up and just move on. But I wasn't receiving the power. Have the peace and the joy in the midst of this. And I think a lot of us forget that because that's our thinking. Now pop down here in verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I love that. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come, nor height nor depth or any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's our assurance, people. That is our assurance, church. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith refers to a very large shield. Picture that. The believers continually trust their faith in God's word and promises above all, absolutely necessary to protect us from the temptations to every sort of sin. It's that shield of faith that keeps us protected. All these things that he's telling us to put on are essential to help us withstand the enemy and the things of this world. You can't just, okay, I'm going to pick up the shield and let everything else exposed. It has to be that process. You have to put on every piece. And it's very important because a lot of us get lazy. It's like, well, I'll read, but I won't pray. I'll pray, but I won't read. I asked some of my kids, would you spend time? I prayed. Well, that's great. Now go read. Okay, I read, I prayed, but I'm all hanging out with these devil people. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're not fellowshipping with people who they should be fellowshipping with. You know what I'm saying? I use that loosely, you know. I'm not judging anybody. But Paul says, bad company corrupts. You know, so, you know, and it's not a legalistic thing, guys. There's got to be joy in the process of all this. Because we're doing it because he has our best interest. And we have to remain that. Because, guys, it's all about love. Again, guys, that's our assurance. And that's verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet, very important. Because if you get, you know, you get shot in the head, you're pretty much dead most of the time. And where does Satan go a lot? Right here. Tries to mess with your head. And that's important, the helmet of salvation. Now check this out. The helmet protected the head is always a major target in battle. Don't forget that. That's where he goes, the fiery darts. And again, Paul is speaking to the church, those who are saved. Satan seeks to destroy a Christian's assurance of salvation with the weapons of doubt and discouragement. Satan wants to cause the believer with doubts, but the Christian can be strong in God's promise of eternal salvation through the scriptures. It talks about it, and I'm just going to kind of badly quote it. In Isaiah 26, the verses 3 and 4, it talks about those who seek him, place their trust in him, and have perfect peace. Guys, if the Bible says it's going to offer this, then guess what? It's obtainable according in his process. So I want that. I want that peace that I'm not going to. It says, I forget where in scripture, but it says you do these things, you won't stumble. I'm tired of stumbling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's this process, but if we apply the scriptures and really take them for what they're worth, then we can have the perfect peace in the midst of something that it's undescribable. It's a supernatural work in us because it's impossible. David, there's no way that he should have beat this guy, straight up. But it just shows, no matter how big the trial or the giant, God can do all things. And he wants to do it through us also. Again, verse 17, I love this. The sword of the Spirit, second part. The sword, now check this out. All these other parts were basically to protect you. Now check this out. The sword, the soldier's only weapon. He only had a sword. So God's word is the only needed weapon, infinitely more powerful than any of Satan's tricks. The word of God, guys, is so powerful because Jesus is the word of God and we neglect it. I'm going to have the band come on up. I'm going to close with a couple more scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please turn with me there. Again, Paul's talking about a spiritual war, but I'm going to pop down to verse 3. Chapter 10, so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't a war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds. This verse is very convicting because I tell everybody I know it, but I wasn't doing it. Casting down every argument and high things that exalts itself, exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and here's the part, bringing every thought into captivity and obedience of Christ. That was my verse, man. Take every thought captive. Apparently I wasn't doing it. I knew it. I said it. I believed it, but it wasn't happening. It wasn't becoming alive. Because why? Because it says, I love this, and being ready to punish all disobedience when obedience is filled. Guys, when that, we are indestructible. And what's awesome, I don't know how many years ago that I wrote this down, but when I put we are indestructible, the verse right there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, the full armor of God, connects. Now, Last night I was getting ready to go to bed, and I love my phone because I have a Bible on there. I'm not a technology kind of guy, but I have the YouVersion Bible. I mean, you got that. It's awesome. So I'm sitting there. It's just a quick, just get it. And I start reading some verses, and I've been going in through Romans, and this verse, and the Lord's like, you know what? Share it with the family. So Romans chapter 15. Actually texted to someone last night to encourage them also. But it's for everybody because this goes perfectly and complements the message. Romans 15, chapter 13, and Paul says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's our assurance. One more time. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just want to thank you. Father, forgive us for neglecting your word, neglecting your promises. But Lord, thank you for your grace. So Lord, I pray that you would just continue to deal with us personally and corporately as the body. Lord, that this would be a message of encouragement, knowing, Lord, that you are bigger than the giants and you are ready to deliver us because in your eyes, the battle has already been won. So Lord, help us to have that eternal heavenly perspective without being ignorant, Lord, but being truthful where we're at, where we need to be, and where we need to continue to seek after. And that is you through your son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. You guys need prayer room. If something that you guys were spoken to, you have questions, answer. If you're not saved, you have no clue what I'm talking about, please talk to us. We want you guys to know what we know. God bless you.